her hips down and flex my ass to feed her all of me while I start coming with a shout. I hold her firmly against me, not willing to lose any part of our connection, and lift off my back to take her mouth while she milks her release. She falls against my chest, and I grunt when the movement slides my cock a little deeper, closing my eyes when I feel another burst shoot deep inside of her. The tension from my release finally drains out of my muscles a minute later, but I keep my hold on her hips so I don't lose her heat. We lie there in comfortable silence, the only sounds are ragged breathing as we both come down. Every few minutes my cock, still more hard than soft, twitches inside her, making her moan. Caroline shifts in my grip, bringing her hands to my chest as she pushes against me to lift up. As soon as there's some space between our bodies, she looks from my face to my chest. She starts moving her hand in small degrees, staring at her ring, and I can only guess that the sun hitting her ring is the reason she's doing so. I watch her beautiful face as she smiles, still looking at her hand. Then her hand drops, but her smile grows. "Oh my God," she gasps, giggling a beat later, the ring forgotten as she points to where the horses are grazing, patiently waiting for us. "Del, he's all white, Clayton." My fingers tighten when I feel her laughter in the walls of her pussy still surrounding my cock. "You," she snorts, unaware of what she's doing to me. "How did I not see it before? You rode in on your white horse, knocked me on my butt, and saved me in the end. My knight in pressed flannel and wranglers." "You're a nut, darling." Her giggles multiply, and I can't help but join in.
"I'm gonna make a whole section on hot, flannel-wearing white knight cowboys when I get the sequel back open. Just you wait."
Her body rocks against mine as she continues to laugh softly, looking at our horses again with a tiny shake of her head. Unable to stand it anymore, I thrust my hips. Her giggle quickly turns into a whimper. "I love you, Lenny," I tell her, giving her a few more thrusts. Her soft brown eyes darken, and her lips take on a smile that will forever be branded in my mind. The sun is still swirling around every inch of her as I look up from my spot on the ground. She's never looked more beautiful than she does in this moment, joined with me as we start our forever. "Never gonna stop loving you, Caroline." Her breath hitches.
"And I love you, Clayton. Always."
22. Caroline. Forever and Ever, Amen by Randy Travis. "I don't want to wait," I tell him, helping him pack up the rest of our lunch. He stops folding the blanket we finally climbed off of to actually eat the lunch I was cleaning up, but seeing the material in his arms against his naked chest makes me want him all over.
"Wait for what, darling?"
I place the last empty storage container into the basket before looking back at him. The rush of him loving me is still surging through my body and mingling with the euphoric high I've had since he knelt in front of me, making me feel as if I could take on the world and win it. And right now, becoming his wife is just as grand in my mind as owning the world would be. "To become your wife," I answer confidently. "No more. Not with him will the shy Caroline Michaels hold back because of her insecurities." His shoulders move in silent laughter.
"What makes you think I'd want to wait?"
"That's usually what happens, honey. Man asks woman. Woman spends every waking moment planning her dream wedding until months of stress and preparation form the most perfect day that you'll ever experience." His lips twitch before he smiles his heart-stopping grin. His green eyes squint as his smile grows.
"Darling, you planning on taking that long?"
I shake my head. "Well, no."
"How long you need?"
I tilt my head, thinking about it, but don't get far before he starts laughing deeply. He tosses the blanket on top of the picnic basket a second before his arms are around me. The light peppering of hair against his rock-hard chest tickles my palms, and I regret getting dressed before we ate when my nipples harden. I love the feel of his chest hair against my skin as he takes me.
"Lenny?"
"Hmm?" I answer, rubbing my hands all over him.
"How long do you need?"
"For what?" I lick my lips when I feel him grow harder, the length of him no match for the denim covering it.
Baby.
He laughs. I blink, looking from his chest to his face. Don't laugh at me, mister.
You loved me hard, Lenny. Then you still let me take you slow. My cock shouldn't have anything left, but with you looking at me like that, it damn sure does. How about you answer me, and I can get you home, in our bed, with my cock buried deep?
I feel his words dance through my body, lighting a fire of need in their path, wetness dampening my panties. I forgot the question, I tell him honestly, breathless for him.
How much time?
He starts, pressing his mouth to mine quickly, lifting his head to smile down at me.
Do you need to plan our wedding?
None. I hum, pressing myself closer and shifting my hands to glide over his skin until I've got a palm against each side of his neck and my face tipped up to look into his. I don't need any time, Clayton. I just need you.
Baby.
He responds thickly. I don't want anything big, Clayton, I say. Your family, Lucy and Luke. That's it, honey. I don't want to wait weeks, months, years. We've both wasted too much time in our lives while we dealt with our ugly in order to find our beauty. I don't need to continue to waste time now that it's even more precious. I just want you. You and me and whatever blessings we find together.
You sure you don't want something big?
Why, Clayton? You have your brother and sister, their families, and I have Lucy and Luke. There aren't grandparents. My parents and yours don't have siblings. I don't want the town turning our wedding into something crazy because they're just nosy. All we need is a small ceremony, our family together and us. He drops his forehead to mine, smiling.
I like that, Lenny.
I don't want to wait, I reiterate.
Then don't. I wouldn't have asked you to be my wife if I wasn't ready to make that happen. You aren't the only one not wanting to wait, darling. I don't want you looking back and wishing you had some big wedding, though, either.
I would never.
Then, Caroline, don't wait.
The whole town's going to think you knocked me up. They went crazy when news got out about us living together. I can only imagine what they'll think when they hear about us being engaged. His eyes flash, something I don't quite understand flickering there for only a second before vanishing. I feel his heart thundering against my chest as the silence continues. His throat bobbles when he swallows. Clayton? He clears his throat. I don't want to rush you, I finally say when it becomes clear he isn't going to stop staring at me mutely. My words get his attention, but I keep going. I'd marry you tomorrow, but I don't want to rush you.
Tomorrow will still be longer than I care to wait.
What?
Caroline.
He breathes.
I've had that ring for damn near the whole time we've been together. I had you one night, and it took everything inside of me to walk away. I might be a foolish man, but when I saw you at the girls' baby shower, I knew I wasn't strong enough to walk away a second time. Every single day since, I've been ready, and every day from this moment will feel like it's not soon enough. Trust me when I say there isn't a damn way to rush something that every second you don't get it feels like a lifetime.
Oh, I say lamely.
Take the time you need to plan the wedding you want, small, big, or in between. Just don't take that much time, darling.
I won't, I mutter.
That's good, Lenny. That's damn good.
He lets me go with a short kiss. Silently, we finish cleaning up and stacking the things he'll pick up later on top of the table. I take one last look at the land around us and feel lighter than I've ever felt in my life. His words from earlier return, and I can almost see our future kids running around the green grass. One day that's going to be ours, and I can't hardly wait for it. The ride back to the ranch is a lot easier. Onyx proved himself to be trustworthy already. I imagine it will take some time for me to get over my fears, but I no longer look at Onyx as part of that. He's been patient with me, and I know, deep down, that Clayton was right when he said there's a bond between the dark beauty and me. During the time I'll have to wait to reopen the sequel, I hope to learn more from Clayton when it comes to writing. A horse as perfect as Onyx deserves that. We pass a few ranch hands working with a couple of Clayton's newer horses in the riding course that's set up between the Davis Personal Horse Barn and the huge one that houses their stock, for lack of a better word, on the way back. Ignoring them, Clayton continues until we both have our feet on the ground, and I've finished the last task that he's coached me through in getting Onyx ready to go back in his stall. I caress the horse's neck, not really ready to leave. "I'm going to be back in the morning, handsome." Clayton laughs.
"Handsome?"
I look over my shoulder at him. Yeah. Look at him.
"Such a nut,"
he mutters, walking Dell down to his own stall.
"Clay?"
I hear someone call from outside the barn right before one of the younger cowboys comes in. His eyes go straight to me, but shift back to Clayton when Clay makes a disapproving sound deep in his throat.
"Sorry, Mr. Davis. Drew had to run to town, and you didn't bring your phone or the radio, but your brother's been calling." "For how long?"
Clayton questions, walking to me and taking my hand before heading toward the younger man. He pauses to grab his hat, placing it back on his head while waiting for a reply.
"Reckon about a half hour ago, maybe close to an hour now." "Thanks, Tim,"
Clayton says, walking right out of the barn and toward the house. "Is everything okay?" I quicken my pace to keep up with his long legs, but feel like I'm more jogging than walking.
"He knew what was going on, darling. Only reason he'd be calling is if it's important. Seeing that Leighton is so close to having the baby, I'm guessing that's why."
"You'll get to your phone quicker if you go ahead, honey," I rush out, pulling my hand from his hold. "Meet you in the house. I'm going to run to my car and grab my phone so I can call Quinn." He nods sharply, turning to continue up to the main house. I quickly snatch up my phone before sprinting back toward the house. I pull Quinn's name up and press the phone to my ear before I even reach the porch steps. "Are y'all on the way?" she questions when the call connects. "About to be. Is everything okay?" "I think so. We haven't talked to Maverick since he called to say it was time. We had to wait for Jana to get to the house so she could watch Grayson. Tate's trying to get some information with his doctor magic." Clayton comes barreling down the hallway, phone to his ear.
"That Quinn?"
I nod. "Here's your brother, Quinn." His breathing is harsh when he takes the phone and places it to his ear.
"Quinny?"
Whatever she says to him must ease some of the worry, because his shoulders loosen up and he closes his eyes before exhaling slowly.
"We're on the way."
He hands me back my phone and visibly struggles with his emotions.
"I'll never be able to hold my shit together when it's you about to have a baby. I feel like I'm too big for my skin right now. I've watched those two fight for this moment for damn near our whole lives, knowing, like us, they could have never found it because of that shit they had to deal with in order to do so. This baby of theirs is something we've all of us been waiting for so long to meet. I can't imagine, feeling this much over their child, what you giving me one of our own will do to me. Never, not until you, did I ever want this for myself. To my knees, Lenny, thinking about something as perfect as our future children brings me to my knees."
"Oh, Clayton." I wrap my arms around him and hug him tight.
"I don't want to wait either, darling,"
he says against my temple, his head bent and his arms around me.
"There's nothing better than traveling with you and doing it in a way that we don't waste a second of our time hesitating in taking what we want. You've got 2 weeks. 2 weeks, and I'm not going to wait any longer than that."
2 weeks, I echo breathlessly.
"Not a day more."
By the time we make it to the hospital, Tate was able to find out that Lee was being prepped for a cesarean section. Her baby is just too big, and the natural birth she's been hoping for is out of the question. Tate assured both Quinn and Clayton that they had nothing to worry about, but even with him explaining how common this is, it's still major surgery. That was almost 3 hours ago, and even Tate has some worry in his eyes now. The tension in our area of the waiting room is thick, but when the doorway opens to reveal a crying, smiling Maverick, that tension vanishes instantly. I look over at Tate and smile, both of us letting the two waiting Davis siblings go to their brother first.
"Congratulations,"
Tate says after Clayton and Quinn reach Maverick's side. "Huh?" I respond in confusion, not taking my eyes off Clayton. When he grabs his brother by the shoulders and pulls him into his arms, I feel the burn of tears start. When both of them drop their foreheads to the other's shoulder, Clayton's hat falling carelessly at his feet, and both their arms tighten as they embrace, I know I'm not going to be able to keep my tears in as I witness such strong men be overcome by their emotions. Then, as if they practiced the move their whole lives, each man lifts the arm closest to where Quinn is standing out. She moves instantly, all but diving into their embrace with her arms going around each brother.
They've been through a lot of shit in their lives,
Tate whispers, moving to the seat next to me.
Thick and thin, those three have been each other's rocks through the worst of it, only sharing that responsibility recently. Maverick finding Leighton, Quinn and me, now you and Clay. Lot of time has passed since they were young kids living a shit life without the love of anyone other than each other, but when you get right down to it, they're always going to need each other's support.
I blink furiously, trying to get my stupid tears to back off, but when Maverick lifts his head and looks at me with his piercing emerald eyes, swollen and wet, I feel them start to fall. His don't stop, but he smiles at me with a small nod before bending his head back to his brother's shoulder.
Felt that way when Gray was born. There's no way to explain what you feel when your child is born. Not saying that my son's birth wasn't as important, but for them, this is so much more. Me and you, we weren't around for all of it, but you know as well as I do that they had a dark childhood. Leighton was there. She loves my wife as a sister, your man as a brother, and her husband owns the rest of her heart. Those three, they finally have it all, and more importantly, they know it. Makes moments like this hit a little harder because there was a time they all thought this would never happen.
They're gifts, I whisper.
Pardon?
Tate asks. I look away from the huddle across the room and smile at Quinn's husband. It's their gift for all that ugly they survived. I don't think I really believed Clayton when he told me that months ago, but there are no doubts now. I've seen it in Clayton during the course of our relationship, but never as clearly as I do today. I spin the ring on my hand, loving the weight of it, and grin when I realize just how much of a gift my Davis has received today.
Yeah, you get it.
I do, Tate. I totally do.
Like I said, congratulations.
He taps my hand, stilling my fingers. Thanks, I breathe, opening my mouth to say more, but snapping it shut when I see the siblings release each other and turn to us.
That's our cue.
We both stand and walk over to them.
I knew it,
Quinn exclaims with a shake to her voice when her husband reaches her side.
Since I was 6 years old, Tate, I've always known it.
I glance at Maverick, seeing him look down at his boots, but not hiding the smile on his face. Clayton pulls me to his side, and I wrap one arm around his back, place my other hand against his hard stomach, and tip my head up to look at him. His eyes are wet and red, but his smile is huge.
I've got a niece,
he tells me in a soft voice full of happiness.
I knew it!
Quinn cries out again.
What's her name?
Maverick looks up, his lips tipping even further.
Promised Leighton I'd let her tell y'all.
Well, bucko, what are we waiting for? Take me to my niece.
Maverick smiles at his sister, and we all follow the new daddy down the hallway. Clayton's been quiet since his brother came into the waiting room, but every time I glance at him, he just smiles, so I leave him to his thoughts, knowing he's anxious to meet the newest member of his family. We stop behind Maverick when he reaches a closed door. James, their last name since he took Leighton's when they married, is written under the room number.
She's still tired, but didn't want to wait,
he rumbles low, looking down at his hand on the doorknob.
I'd keep y'all here with us all night, but I'm asking because I need this time with my wife and daughter. Please keep it short tonight.
I swear, if you don't get your tail out of my way, I'll take you out.
Quinn, I mean it.
I look at her as she rolls her eyes. I know you do, big brother, and I think you understand that I get you. Now get out of my way so I can see my sister and hold the niece you denied me for years, and then I'll leave. Maverick nods at his sister as Tate and I laugh lightly when she starts pushing into the room before the doors even open all the way. Clayton hangs back while Tate enters, causing Maverick to glance his way.
I spent 10 years worried you'd never come home,
Clayton tells Maverick, his words low.
10 years I felt nothing but fear that I'd lost my brother because I couldn't protect him enough to keep him here. I'm so happy for you right now. Seeing you overcome all that pushed you away and kept you gone to find what you were always meant to have.
He pauses as his arms tighten around my shoulders.
You made it possible with all that for me to be able to see what I was meant to have. I'm so fucking proud to call you my brother, Mav.
I'm just going to... I point toward the open door and try to step out from under Clayton's arm. His head tips down to look at me.
Don't you dare move. We're all getting what we were meant to have, brother,
Maverick says, breaking the staring contest I had apparently entered with Clayton as we both look to him.
You'll be in my shoes sooner rather than later, I reckon.
He steps closer to his big brother and lowers his voice.
Don't let me hear you say you didn't protect me again, Clay. You've always done that. You did it when I was a kid, when I left, and you continued doing it when you took care of Lee when I didn't. I overcame all that because I had the love of a good woman and the support of you and Quinn. Don't forget, it was you who helped me see my way to her. It means the world to hear that you're proud of me, seeing that you were the man who taught me how to be one myself.
I don't hesitate to step away from Clayton when Maverick finishes, walking into the hospital room and leaving them to have the rest of that moment privately. An hour later, much to Quinn's irritation, the four of us walk out of the hospital, leaving Leighton and baby Leyland Quinn James resting peacefully in Maverick's strong arms. 23. Caroline. All My Exes Live in Texas, by George Strait. I wave at Mary Beth Perkins and back out of the grocery store as quickly as I can without making it look obvious that I'm trying to get away from the sweet but extremely nosy older woman. I could tell she was itching for some gossip with the way she kept looking at my stomach. I knew this would happen the second our engagement news started circulating. What should have only taken me 15 minutes, tops, took close to an hour. Everyone, and I do mean everyone I encountered, asked me a million questions. It's been almost 2 weeks since Clayton asked me to be his wife. I've spent every second of that time planning our wedding and going between our home, Maverick and Leighton's, and Quinn and Tate's. Since both couples have such tiny newborns, I didn't want them coming out to our place. It was just easier to go to them. Plus, this way, I get tons of time cuddling babies without having to fight off someone else in order to do so. Lucy's been out a few times, Luke as well, but we've had little time to get together like we normally do. They understand, and I know both are happy for me.
Caroline?
I freeze, my body locking tight.
Please,
the voice continues. Instead of making me feel uneasy, though, the broken tone in his pleading gives me what I need. He doesn't get to feel broken here. He doesn't have that right, seeing as he's the person who did everything in his power to ensure I was the broken one. I suck in a cleansing breath before turning. What do you want, John? He looks terrible. The once handsome man I knew is long gone. His hair is a little too long. His eyes are bloodshot and sunken, with shadowy bags under them. And he's lost weight. Not too much, but enough that I know he's not taking care of himself.
I'm so sorry,
he rushes out, looking around frantically.
So sorry.
I moved past needing to hear that a long time ago, John.
It wasn't supposed to be like that,
he continues like I didn't even speak. I cross my arms and arch a brow, not willing to turn my back and continue loading the car, but I realize my mistake when John's panicked eyes drop. I glance down and see that my left hand and big diamond ring stick out like a billboard announcing my relationship status.
Is that... are you... to Clay Davis?
Why does it even matter to you? I sigh, shaking my head. You have no say in my life, John. You haven't for years. Why now, after all this time, is telling me you're sorry so dadgum important? He keeps shaking his head, not looking away from my ring. He mumbles something I can't hear under his breath before looking up at me with worried eyes.
I loved you, you know,
he finally says.
I don't know what to do now.
Clayton's words about John being on drugs filter through my thoughts when I realize how odd he's acting. Knowing what I do about his past here in Pine Oak, and having first-hand knowledge about just how violent he can be, I should be blind with fear. Heck, months ago, I would have been. But I've come too far to let him push me right back into that person who was afraid of living. I want you to leave me alone. I want you to leave Clayton alone. And if you're going to be living in Pine Oak, too, then I want you to avoid us at all costs. I survived what you did to me, John. I made it through that. And even though it took me a while to find my reward, I have it. And I'm not going to let you try and dirty that up with everything that is you. He opens his mouth to say something, but I release my arms and hold one up to stop him silently. I don't want to hear your apologies, because they mean nothing to me. Just like you. Do you understand that, John? He shakes his head sadly, looking down.
I loved you.
No. No, you didn't. You loved owning someone who feared you. You loved the power of breaking me. You loved you.
You're wrong, Caroline. I've done everything for you.
I snort. You must be delusional.
Don't marry him. I won't be able to save you.
This time I laugh in his face.
You? Save me? You're a riot. I tried,
he says, but stops and shakes his head. You inflicted pain. Don't get that mixed up. It's been years, John. I finally moved on, and I'm so happy it's ridiculous. You're sorry? Great. If it's my forgiveness you want or need, then you'll be waiting for a while. You can't give forgiveness to someone you've forgotten. And you, John, are just a forgotten memory. I turn my back and load the last four bags into my trunk before shutting it and walking the buggy back to the return. When I start walking back to my car, I don't see him anywhere. The first thing I do when I climb into my car is grab my phone and call Clayton.
You on your way, darling?
I just ran into John. Silence. Clayton?
I heard you.
He answers with venom in his tone.
He touch you?
What? No, Clayton.
What did he want?
I sigh, then tell him what happened, trying to remember what John had said, but knowing I probably got some of it wrong. Still, even though it was pretty harmless, I can tell Clayton is about to lose his mind. He wanted to apologize. It doesn't make any sense to me why he'd feel that's something to be done so many years later, but nevertheless, he did. He startled me only because I wasn't expecting him, but Clayton, I didn't feel anything but done. I don't fear him or what he did to me anymore.
He could have hurt you,
Clayton finally says, letting me know what's really upsetting him. He didn't. And I'm not the weak little girl who won't fight back. I've got all the reasons in the world to fight, and if he had been stupid enough to try and touch me in the middle of Main Street, I guarantee I wouldn't have been fighting by myself for long. He grumbles under his breath. We're getting married tonight, Clayton Davis. Don't you dare let this put a cloud over our wedding night. It happened, it's done, and you know about it because I didn't want you hearing it from someone else. I'm fine. And in just a couple of hours, we're going to be husband and wife. No one can stand in the way of that kind of happiness.
Get home, Lenny. Get home and no more of that shit about me not seeing you before tonight. I need to see with my own eyes that you're fine.
I smile, leaning my head back against the headrest. I'll see you in our spot tonight, and not a second earlier. I laugh outright when I hear him bellow out his complaints before I can disconnect the call. Not wanting to make him suffer too much, I quickly take a picture of myself and text it to him. Happiness and love written all over my face, my smile big and my eyes dancing. I place my phone on the passenger seat and back out of the lot to head over to Leighton's place, ignoring the chimes announcing texts that don't stop coming in the whole way to her house. Not wanting to be distracted, I leave the phone on the seat and walk to the trunk to grab the bags.
I've got it,
Maverick says, making me scream.
You need a bell, I gasped, holding my hand to my chest, my heart pounding from being snuck up on.
Lee's waiting on you,
he tells me, bending over to scoop up all of the bags and trudging into his house, leaving the front door open for me. Well, then. Earl is the first to greet me when I step into their home. He's sitting on his large rump in front of the baby swing. The huge, kind of scary cat gives me a look that, were he human, would express disapproval, his brow arched and a frown beneath his whiskers. Hey, Earl, I greet, stepping up to the swing to look at little Laylin as she sleeps peacefully. I reach out, wanting to move her blanket down a little so I can see her adorable dimpled chin, but jerk it back when Earl hisses and swats at my ankle. What the heck? I whisper, frowning at the cat. He's a little protective of Laylin, Lee giggles, scooping up her huge cat as he hisses and wiggles to get free. Stop it, you big baby. So, I'm just going to go get changed then, I tell her. No offense, I'm sure he means well, but I'm pretty sure your cat could kill me. And as much as I love your daughter, I don't want to die. Lee laughs, dropping her cat to his feet. He pads back to his spot and settles in to sit guard in front of the swing. Quinn's feeding Gray and Lucy is getting dressed. Luke and Tate went up to get everything finished. I think Maverick is on the way back up there. He just happened to be checking in on things when you drove up. I feel like there's something I should be doing other than getting dressed. There is nothing you need to be fretting about, sister. My heart warms and I smile at my old friend, soon to be my sister-in-law. It's really happening? You betcha ass it is. Come on. We've got a wedding to get to and a bride who isn't ready yet. All thoughts of John and our bizarre run-in are forgotten while my three closest friends help me get ready to marry the man of my dreams. By the time Luke comes back to let us know everything's ready and that the groom is waiting very impatiently, I've been buffed, fluffed, painted, and sprayed. He takes one look at me in my simple floor-length lace dress and turns to walk back out the door. I look over at Lucy, seeing her watery smile, and blink furiously to keep my tears from ruining my makeup. I glance at Leighton and Quinn, seeing them wearing the same simple coral sundresses that we all agreed on as their bridesmaids' outfits. All three are wearing brown cowboy boots, and their hair is braided simply to rest over one shoulder. Quinn's holding Grayson, dressed in a miniature version of what the guys are wearing, a black button-down and dark-washed jeans. With Laylin being only 2 weeks old, there wasn't anything close to the girls' outfits that fit her, but I bet Leighton tried anyway.
Okay,
Luke says, walking back in. You okay? I whisper, walking to his side and hugging him.
Yeah.
He swallows thickly.
I'm just real damn happy for you, Carrie.
Caroline, I correct with a laugh, not the least bit serious.
I'm honored that you asked me to give you away, sweetheart.
Don't make me cry, I warn. Luke laughs but lowers his head so the girls can't hear him.
I knew 5 months ago when you sat next to Davis at Hazel's that this would happen. You both looked like you'd been zapped. I'm always here if you need me, but I couldn't be more pleased with the man you've chosen to be your husband.
Luke, I murmur, my vision getting wonky with the tears filling my eyes.
Enough of that,
he exclaims, clapping his hands and rocking on his booted feet.
You ladies ready? Because there's a man up at the top of the hill who's about out of patience to get his bride in his arms.
Quinn gives me a quick hug before walking out and climbing into the front of the golf cart next to Tate in the driver's seat. Lucy follows, thankfully having said much of the same that her brother did the night before and sparing me the tears. She winks before settling in. Lee is last out the door, holding the pink bundle of her daughter in her arms. You ready? God, yes, I answer emphatically. Her grin is as huge as mine, I'm sure, as she walks to the cart and climbs up to sit with Lucy. Tate gives a wave before driving off slowly, careful of the precious cargo, in the direction of the Davis property. I look up at Luke and, with just him there, finally let loose some of the pent-up excitement. My hands go up in the air with the bundle of wildflowers held tight in my hand, and I shake my hips as I dance in a circle on Leighton's front porch.
I'm getting married!
Not if you don't stop dancing around, you aren't. Come on, crazy girl. Your man is waiting.
I dropped my arms and turned to him, my cheeks burning from the enormous grin on my face. This is it, Luke. This is my forever. His eyes get soft, and he grabs the hand not holding my bouquet.
No one deserves it more.
Thank you, Lucas, I tell him after he helps me into the golf cart. Thank you for being there for me all these years. You didn't have to be, but you were. I just want you to know how much your friendship means to me. He taps my nose with his finger and grins.
Your family, darling. I didn't have to, but I wanted to. That's what family does. That will always hold true. Even with you gaining a husband I know will protect you completely, I'm always going to be here if you need me.
I reach out and grab his hand, not trusting myself to answer him without breaking down like a baby, and squeeze. Luke gives me a nod, then presses his foot down and takes off on the trail that will bring me to my forever.
24. Clayton. It Took a Woman by Craig Morgan. Jesus, I hiss, feeling my heart try to burst out of my damn chest when I see Caroline step down from the golf cart and smile at Luke as he walks around to hold his elbow out for her. She looks like one hell of a vision. Her dress makes her tanned skin glow, the bright white lace hugging her small frame like it was made just for her. The low-cut neckline highlights her small breasts, and the fact that there is no way she's got a bra on. Her long, dark hair is pulled up into some messy, curly bunch at the base of her neck, exposing each delicate inch. It's her face, though, that holds me captive, openly projecting her happiness to everyone who was with us up on the hill that I used to run to when I needed to feel grounded. The same hill that I made love to her on 2 weeks ago when I asked her to be my wife. If you told me years ago that I'd be marrying the love of my life right here on this spot, I would have laughed you right out of Pine Oak. She and Luke start to walk down the flower petal-covered path that'll bring her to the gazebo I built in our spot. I did as much of the work as I could myself, but with limited time to give her something perfect, I had to get help. Drew and I pulled a few of the boys off their normal duties, and with the help of my brothers as well, we created something I have no doubt will be standing for many years to come. The large square base covers the expanse of where I got on my knee. The roof keeps us covered, and the low walls around the opening she's walking up ensure I can keep loving her out in the open while giving us some privacy. With each step she takes toward me, I have to fight the need to rush to her. Feeling a nudge against my arm, I reluctantly look away from Caroline. The handkerchief in Maverick's hand silently gets passed to mine, and I wipe the tears I hadn't realized I was crying. Caroline takes the last step into the gazebo and pulls the material from my grasp, wiping my eyes for me with the most serene expression on her beautiful face. When she's done, I take it from her and return the favor when one tear of her own slips down her cheek. Oh, God, one of the girls sobs. I hear some more sniffles, but I can't look away from Caroline to see who is crying. My eyes don't leave hers once while Judge Allen, the only person available to marry us on a Wednesday night, speaks out for the small group to hear clearly. The whole ceremony is a fog for me, my focus only on Caroline as my heart pounds happily. I slip my band on her finger without breaking our gaze, and she does the same. The second the solid weight of my wedding band registers, I feel my control slipping and my eyes watering. She doesn't miss it either, but I reckon she's too busy holding her own emotions in check to do much about it. It isn't until Judge Allen tells me I can kiss my bride that I move. My hands frame her face and my feet take a step closer until I bend and take my wife's mouth in a slow, deep kiss. I have to force myself to pull away, but when I look down at Caroline, my wife, and see the dazed stare in her dark eyes, I smile and drop my forehead to hers. I love you. I loved you before you were my wife, and I'll love you long after my last breath. Thank you, Linny, for blessing my life. She hiccups out a soft sob, closing her eyes and tightening her arms around me. Heavens above, Clayton Davis. You're an incredible man. You own my heart, honey. Now and forever. I move my mouth to her ear, making sure no one can hear me, and grin when she sucks in her breath. I'm gonna be bad with my wife tonight.
Her hand that's resting on my chest trembles slightly before her fingers grip the fabric. Leaning back, I wink down at her and place a quick kiss against her forehead. Judge Allen signs the papers to make us legal before waving us off and taking one of the golf carts back toward the ranch where he left his truck. He knew we wanted this moment to be as private as can be, shared between family only. And I'm thankful he doesn't stick around, giving us this moment before our marriage news spreads through town. And spread it will. I have a feeling that by the time I wake up in the morning with my wife in my arms, the whole town is going to know Clayton Davis finally settled down.
"What's up, sister?"
Quinn hoots, her voice carrying in the vast open space around us. I frown at her when she pulls Caroline from my arms and wraps her in her own. The brat just sticks her tongue out at me when I reach for Caroline again.
"Someone is going to need to learn to share. She's not just yours, big brother."
"Like hell," I grunt.
"Oh, be a good boy, Clay. Sharing is caring, you know."
I narrow my eyes at Quinn. Before I can say anything, Caroline smiles at me over her shoulder, her eyes dancing with mischief.
"Yeah, honey, be a good boy."
I arch my brow, place my hands on my hips, and smile at her. Her eyes widen the second she realizes that, by trying to play me, she's about to get it right back. "Darling, need I remind you how much you love it when I'm bad?"
"Clayton,"
she hisses, her cheeks turning pink.
"Oh, really?" Quinn gasps with mock shock. "Someone's been holding out on us, Lee." "I'm gonna get you for that,"
Caroline whispers, closing her eyes and shaking her head when Quinn and Lee continue teasing.
"I'm going to tell them you've got a butt fetish."
Tossing my head back, I laugh loudly and pull her into my arms. "Linny, that's not exactly a threat, considering I most definitely love your ass."
"That's not what I meant."
"I might need to show you just how much I love it later," I continue, ignoring her. Her eyes darken, and I pull her tighter against me. "Knew you loved me being bad for you." I expected her to ignore me, but instead she holds my gaze, pink cheeks and all, and shrugs.
"I don't think there's a single thing in this world that I don't love when it comes to you, Clayton."
"Feelings mutual, Lenny love." "We're gonna head back to the house and start getting the food out," Maverick says, stepping closer with his daughter asleep against his chest. "Give y'all some time alone." I nod. "Thanks, Mav." He lifts his chin, looks down at his daughter, and kisses her on the top of her blonde head. I glance at my niece and feel the tug in my chest. Until Caroline, I never wanted that, what my brother has right there in his arms. I shoot my eyes over to where Quinn is fussing over her son while he grunts in his father's arms. One more glance at Laylin, and I feel a burst of determination rush over me. I want that. I want children with the woman who owns my happiness, love, and life. I need it. More than that, I want to prove that I can be what my parents couldn't be. Maverick clears his throat, pulling my eyes from his daughter. My normally stoic and closed-off brother gives me a whole hell of a lot without words when I lock eyes with him. He gets it. The need that's coursing through my veins right now. One corner of his mouth tips up. He adjusts his daughter's so he can pull one hand away, placing his large hand on my shoulder. Caroline steps to the side. Then my brother has one arm around my back and his head next to mine, voice low. "Real happy for you, Clay. You deserve everything you've gotten and will get with Caroline. You know what kind of peace loving her gives you. But just you wait until your woman blesses you with your firstborn. No fucking feeling can compare to the love that grows from that for your child and for the woman you never imagined possible to love more. Just you wait." Fuck me. I clench my jaw, press my lips to my niece's temple, and lift my head to nod at Mav. He doesn't need me to acknowledge his words, not when we both know he isn't wrong. True to his word, Maverick corrals the small group into carts to head off to his house. The sound of their chatter lingers behind them long after they disappear around the trees that keep Mav and Lee's property mostly hidden. Caroline steps into me, her front against mine, and wraps her arms around my waist. Resting my chin against the top of her head, I close my arms around her. "I can't wait to get you back home," I confess softly, my hands caressing the bare skin completely exposed from just below her shoulders to the top of her ass, showing the dimples at the base of her spine. "Is this clasp the only thing holding your dress together?" I continue, flicking the tiny stretch of fabric that goes across her shoulder blades. "Pretty much," she giggles, pressing herself even tighter against me. "I think it's more for extra support in keeping the front from showing too much." I pull back a little and look down at the front of the dress. My fingers trail from the strap in question over her lace-covered shoulders and down her front. The deep V of her neckline stops below her chest, mid-stomach. Sticking my pointer fingers into the lace at the bottom of the V, I glide them up toward her breasts. The bottom swell of her tits is silky smooth as I slide over the flesh. Her teeth bite her lower lip when my fingers finally move to her nipples, and she moans low. I roll each tight bud before pulling both fingers out of the fabric. Her chest moves rapidly. Tonight I'm gonna love my wife bad, and not take this dress off until I'm done. I bend, my tongue coming out to lick her from the bottom of that V and up the middle of her chest until my mouth is at her ear. I can't wait to feel all this lace against me while your silky heat sucks me dry. "Oh, God," she breathes. "One day, when our family isn't waiting for us, I'm gonna bring you back up here and we're gonna break this gazebo in." Caroline places her hands against my chest and lifts up on her toes. "I like the sound of that, honey." With a groan that seems to come from deep in my body, I take her mouth in a deep kiss. Her lips open instantly, ready for me, and our tongues slide against each other. With her body pressed tight and her hands at the back of my head, keeping me close, I feel surrounded by her love. She whines when I shift us and my erection pushes into her belly. My hands move and I bend, taking her ass in my palms and lifting her as I stretch back up. Her dress keeps her from wrapping her legs around me, but her arms adjust to wrap around my neck, deepening our connection. I've never felt more whole than I do right now. High above my land, in a place that's always meant something to me, with the rest of my life in my arms. I've got it all. I truly have it all. 25. Clayton. Ain't Nothing About You, by Brooks and Dunn.
More.
I breathe in, the scene and taste only becoming more addicting when I do. How she can taste like the sweetest apple pie ever baked, I'll never know, but fuck if I'm not gonna enjoy the dessert of her.
"Please, Clayton,"
she gasps, the breathy sound turning into a scream when I bite her swollen clit between my teeth before hollowing my cheeks and sucking hard. Her hands fist in my hair, pulling me closer as she grinds against my face. I look up her body, seeing her lost in pleasure as she writhes against our bed. The stark white of her wedding dress against our dark gray sheets reminds me that only hours ago this woman became mine for life. I growl against her, causing her to yelp and press my left hand against her pelvis to keep her hips on the mattress. In the dim glow from the lamp on my nightstand, the black metal on my ring finger can't be missed. Seeing that symbol of our union only drives the need I'm feeling to take her to grow to insurmountable levels. It's undeniable, primal, the forceful urge to consummate our union in the most carnal of ways, taking on a life of its own. Dragging my hands up her torso, I take her breasts. The fabric of her dress catches on my calloused hands, but it doesn't stop me from flexing my fingers against the small weight of her tits. She moans low and deep as I continue to play with her, her wetness covering my chin. Flattening my tongue, I lift my head, then lick her from opening to clit, dragging my tongue around the bud, then moving back down. Her flavor bursts on my tongue, making me hungry for more. The heady scent swirls around me as my balls tighten. Running the tip of my nose over her sex, I inhale and feel my chest vibrate as the satisfying aroma of her arousal fills my head. "Look at me," I demand, stilling my hands. She rolls her head from side to side, but doesn't give me those brown eyes. "Look at me, Lenny. Watch me love the fuck out of my good girl. See what it does to me to drink from your pussy, to know that I'm the one your body comes to life for."
Oh, God,
she gasps. Look at me now, I growl. Her head lifts slowly as she obeys. Her hair, no longer contained, tumbles around her face and over her chest. The ends tickle my hands against her breasts. Her eyes, so dark they almost look black, plead with me through hooded lids, and incoherent mumbles leave her mouth. Her kiss-swollen lips part as she starts panting, needing this as much as I do. Opening my mouth wide, I close my lips around her pussy and stick my tongue into her entrance, thrusting as deep as I can before lifting my head back slightly to lick her again. I hold her gaze and suck, flick, and lick her pussy until her eyes flutter closed and she screams out my name as her orgasm slams through her. Releasing her breasts, I drag my hands down her body, and with one more closed-mouth kiss to her pussy, I turn my head and wipe my mouth against her thigh. Her legs fall open as I lift my shoulders from between her legs and climb up her body, thankful I strip down before following her into bed. I glance at the clock on the nightstand and smirk.
You look smug,
she pants drunkenly, out of breath and making my cock jerk, knowing I'm the reason she's trying to catch her breath. I just made you come 3 times, and even though I had your pussy wet in my lips for over an hour, I want more.
My heart is always going to be racing around you, isn't it?
I smile at my wife as my hips start moving, gliding my thickness through her slickness, not entering her. She hisses each time the tip of my cock bumps her sensitive clit. I hope so, darling. Keeping my pace, I watch her dress move against her chest while I rock her body with my teasing. Her small tits jiggle slightly each time I thrust against her. The delicate fabric that goes around her shoulders to meet the strap across her back strains with each heavy breath. I wonder how hard I'd have to take her for those tits to break free of the fabric. I come up on my knees and drink her in as I stroke my cock. The long skirt on her dress is bunched at her hips, her sex glistening in the low light, and those brown eyes I love are watching my fist as I work my length. When she moves quickly, it takes me a second to realize her mouth is suddenly around my cock and her tongue is swirling against the tip. Her hand wraps around mine, squeezing my stalled grip. And when I don't move, she hums against my flesh. I grunt, clench my cheeks, and with my free hand brush her hair out of her face. Her hand squeezes me again, and her eyes meet mine. Fuck me, I hiss, seeing clear as day in those dark depths the pleasure she's getting from sucking my cock. My hand moves, letting her hold guide the movements as we start stroking the hard, needy flesh. Her mouth takes as much of my length as she can, which isn't much, before swirling her tongue around me to repeat the process. It takes every ounce of my control to not come, but when I feel her teeth scrape against the underside of my cock, I see stars. With a bellow, I release my hand from her hold and hook her under her arms and toss her back against the bed. My body covers hers instantly, and my mouth drops to hers. The sounds coming from the two of us are hungry as our tongues dance together. Lifting my hips, I feel her arm move between us, and without any encouragement, she feeds my cock into her body. She screams out with the first hard stroke, but because of how long I primed her with my mouth, she has no trouble taking me completely. The shock of her pussy strangling me from tip to base is almost enough to have my cum shooting deep into her, but I hold on and rumble a warning when she wiggles her hips.
Please,
she begs. Don't move, I demand through thin lips, feeling a tiny burst of pre-cum leave my cock. Fuck. I drop my forehead to her neck and try to measure my breathing and get a hold of my body.
Clayton Davis, if you don't start moving now, I'm gonna knock you on your ass and move for you.
Caroline Davis, if you don't stop moving and let me have a minute, I'm gonna spank your ass and then move for you.
Yes,
she exhales, her eyes widening and her pussy clenching greedily and flexing against my cock.
Goddamn.
I blow the word out with a hiss. Pushing the thoughts of her liking the sound of me spanking her from my mind, I start to move, slowly gliding through her in deep thrusts. Her nails scrape against my back, her mules echoing and mingling with my low grunts, but it's her slick heat rippling against my cock that almost does me in.
I drop my mouth to her neck and start to kiss up the slim column until my lips are moving along her jaw. The whole time, my hips start to pick up speed. By the time I've covered her mouth with mine, she's frantic, her hips surging off the bed to meet mine, our damp bodies slapping together, and her voice becoming hoarse as she screams out her release. Between the incredible feeling of her pussy clamping down on my cock and the expression on her face when she does, I can't hold myself back any longer. Planting my hips against hers, the tip of me as deep as I can get, I feel my stomach clench and my balls draw up. My mouth opens over her shoulder and I bite her against the tender flesh while emptying my release deep into her body. I lift my mouth when the last tremor shakes up my body and lick where there are indentations of my teeth.
I love it when you're bad with me, she sighs.
Did I hurt you? I ask, panting and staring at the mark I've left on her flesh. A mark that only makes me want to put more all over her. Logically, I know it's going to disappear before we wake up in the morning, but I can't deny loving the fuck out of seeing it, wishing it was to stay.
Hurt me? God, no.
She moans the last word when I start to slip free from her heat, that sound turning into a low whine when I pull the rest of the way from her body. I glance down at my cock, the wetness of our combined releases covering every inch. She whimpers, the pitiful sound making me smile. She isn't the only one who wishes we could keep our bodies connected. When I look back up at her, all flushed skin and bright eyes, I feel like the luckiest bastard in the world. Thank you. She frowns and searches my face.
For what, honey?
I inhale and shake my head, feeling my lips move as I grin down at her. For loving me. For giving me you. For wanting me. Never thought I would have this, Lenny. But now that I do, I know I'll never be able to live without it. So, I kiss her slack lips. Thank you, baby. Her chin wobbles and she blinks rapidly.
Clayton, she hiccups.
Honey, she sniffles.
Never, ever do you need to thank me for doing what I was made to do. You have no idea what you've done for me, do you?
When I don't speak, she gives one more sniff before giving up and letting the tears fall, smiling through them up at me.
You, honey, you saved me. You healed me. You gave me purpose in a life that I had given up on. You've given me strength, confidence, and a fearlessness that only grows with your love. Don't thank me for doing what comes as natural as breathing does, honey.
Lenny, I rumble thickly.
You brought me back to life, she continues.
Stop, darling.
Showed me just how beautiful my days could be.
Caroline.
Offered your silent protection, my white knight, while I faced my demons.
Baby, I try again, her words making my throat get thicker and my eyes burn.
Loved me bad and gave me forever.
Fuck, I grunt, my mouth covering hers so she'll stop talking. I don't even attempt to hold back the wetness fallen from my eyes in tune with my pounding heart. Getting emotional because your other half loves you isn't something I'll ever be ashamed of. Not when I never thought I would have this. I keep my mouth fused to hers while I strip her carefully of her dress and, with her silky smooth skin pressed tightly to mine, love my wife slow. Our moans and pleading gasps are swallowed as we kiss. The slick silk of her chest rubs against mine as I continue the slow tempo of my hips. With her words still echoing through my mind, the last thought I have before the sensation of loving her becomes too much is that she's wrong. It was she who brought me back to life. My ringing phone pulls me from a deep and sated sleep. Caroline curls into my side as the ringing continues and I pull her closer while burying my head in the crook of her neck, content to ignore whoever is calling. I groan when the ringing picks up not even a second after it stopped. But it isn't until I hear Caroline's phone join in that I move.
Clayton? She asks, confused.
I roll and grab my phone off the nightstand, jabbing the accept button. Yeah? Clay. What, Mav?
The gazebo,
he starts, releasing an aggravated breath. It's gone, Clay. What the hell do you mean it's gone?
Sleep instantly vanishes as my brother's words wake me up as effectively as an ice-cold bucket of water tossed over my head. Trey was out on a late ride tonight. He does that shit after a long day. Don't ask me why he goes this damn late. He said when he went west, all was quiet. About an hour later, before he could even see where it was coming from, he noticed the glow of something burning. He tried, Clay.